We have an interesting lesson this morning. I imagine every one of us, since we were a little small child, have heard about Noah and his ark. And we thought it was quite simple. If you start tearing it apart, it's not as simple as we thought it was. It amazed me, when we first started High Point, there were so many people coming to us that were coming that were alcoholics that had never been to church. And I studied with four women who came to faith, and then I studied with them for a year. One of them, when she had been free of alcohol for a year, I got to go to AA with her to get her CR button. And so it was such a wonderful time. Anyway, we were studying along, and we got into this area here about Noah, and talked about when Noah came out of the ark, and God blessed us, and then put the bow in the sky, and promised us he would not destroy the world again with water. This one of these ladies said, really? She had never heard of Noah and the ark. She was in her 30s or 40s. And so if you have known this since you were a child, you have been especially blessed. And I have studied with several people. I know one of the people that has moved away right now. When we started, they don't know where Genesis is. They don't know where the Bible is. They have never been in church service. And at 65, how could you go that long without? And so when we look back at what we do know and what we don't know, because we know if we needed to know it, God would have revealed it to us, it's interesting. So we're going to study this morning probably a little bit differently than what you expected. But you don't expect anything to go according to what but praise God for his Holy Spirit and for what you may or may not learn that you did or did not know before we had this. So we are in Genesis 6, and so we're going to pray, dear Father, that the Holy Spirit guides us, opens up our eyes to what is needful and true, what we do not understand. We know, Father, that you probably have already seen. We couldn't handle it anyway, so if you want us to know it, it had been revealed. So we ask you, Father, to open our eyes to what you have for us to know today. So we got down here last week until 6:10, where Noah had three sons, Ham and Shem and Japheth. And we have here in verse 11 of chapter 6. And now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and full of violence. And God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all of the people on the earth. It is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. And so make yourself an ark of cypress wood. And he goes on to describe the ark. I think this is a little difficult to understand how it's written here. God tells he's fixing to destroy everything. And then all of a sudden he said, but we're going to build an ark. And so when you go in there and you read it real carefully, it says here, so in 14, so make yourself an ark. This ark was made for one purpose. It was for Noah and his family and all of the animals, and that he would reestablish or restart again an earth that had become so corrupt that he could not take it in. So then we have here the description of the ark, and he builds, you know, I was raised in the High Plains. There was no water anywhere on South Plains, Texas. We had a lot of cotton patches. We had farming area, but there was no water anywhere. It rained occasionally, and sometimes when it rained, well, we'd have a hailstorm that would wipe out everything that Daddy had planted. And I went to college when I was 35, and we had a speech test, and I gave this information here as my speech at South Plains College. And I said, what if somebody came in and said, and we'd never seen it rain, and said, we're going to go in there and pasture, we're going to build a boat, and it's going to be this big. And because this fish would start raining, which we hadn't seen the rain. And he worked on that crazy boat for a year, he and his family and all of his our servants and everything. And so then it'd probably be about the size of one of those big, you know, those cruise ships now that are three or four stories high. I think that'll give you some idea of what you're dealing with. And so we had a group of ladies last year and gentlemen that went to see the Ark. And so they're going to tell you what they saw, as we saw here. Number one, you just need to remember that it's about probably the length of 3.5 football fields long, and that wide, and 3 stories high. So Carol, do you want to come? And then you can ask her any questions you want to. I just thought it would be interesting. So Carol, come on up, dear. And then Linda may have something that she wants to ask.
We had the privilege of a group of about 40 people.
Really?
That from different churches. We had some from here. We had some from a sister church, Hill Country Bible, quite a few from there. And we went up to the Ark, and we went to the Ark Encounter is what it's called. And I'm going to be referring to that. And if you want to Google Ark Encounter on any of your devices, that is an excellent place. You will see exactly a couple of many of the things that I'm talking about today, and it will give you a beautiful picture. I asked my cousin who went on the trip that took like 900 pictures probably. No, you know, he's one of those people. And I asked him to get me some, and he has sent some, and they're en route somewhere between Houston and here now. It's on a stick. So one day we might have them and be able to look at all these things. But like I said, if you go to the Ark Encounter, there will be a lot of pictures there that will really help you zero in on exactly what we're talking about. First of all, it says that Noah was finished with the Ark when he was 600 years old. Okay, you know, that's really old. Then he lived till he was 950 years old. So after the Ark, they were on the Ark, he and his family were on the Ark, probably a little over a year. To us, that seems like a long time to be with that many animals and all that stuff on the Ark. But to him, that wasn't very long, you know? And so this means that he probably, when God gave him the word, go and build an ark, and I will tell you exactly how to do it, and I will tell you exactly how to do everything on the ark. And he gave him the knowledge of how to build an ark and how to build everything in it. First of all, it had 3 levels. There was a hole down through the middle, and then on these levels, there were all the animals' cages. When you look on the Ark Encounter and you see some of those pictures, it's astounding, the workmanship to building. Okay, so they had little cages for every kind of little animal. And another little cage, another little cage. All those cages had some kind of a feeding tube so they could get water. And then they had some type of waste disposal. Okay, now remember, with all of those animals, you had to feed them. God said, take enough food for all of the animals. That's a lot of food. And so there had to be vessels on board that contained all the food they were going to have to take. It didn't say take water. So there was some way that water was getting. It might have been through an opening.
What? They had a lot of water.
Yes, they had a lot of water. Yes, that's right. It was nearby. So they were able to get water, but then they would have to feed the animals. Now we have 7 people feeding all of the animals on the ark. There were thousands of species of animals, okay, on the ark. Luckily, they didn't have to take care of the ones in the water. They were all swimming around, so they didn't have to worry about those. So they had to be fed, and then they had to have a disposal system, because if you eat, you poop. So if you one of the videos that I looked at on the ark, like they would have chutes where they would come and dump the disposable stuff, and it would go down the chute down to an area in the ark where they might have, somehow they had a way of getting rid of the waste out into the ocean, okay? Into the water, anyway. So it's just unbelievable how intricate all of this was. One of the things, they had little cages for all of the animals. And then they had bigger areas for the larger animals. Now, did you ever think that there were dinosaurs on the ark? Well, there were. Yes, there were dinosaurs on the ark. They were there. Now, they may have been young dinosaurs, so that we didn't have all these Tyrannosaurus rexes, you know, flipping their tails around. But there were, and in Ark Encounter, you saw a lot of evidence of the fact that there were dinosaurs. And so that is just mind-boggling to me. I love dinosaurs anyway, so it's just so cool, so cool. Since he was 600 years old when they got off the Ark, that means probably, I don't think it said when he started. Did it say when it took? Okay, he was five. Okay, so that it took him 100 years to build the ark. Okay, and his children were already, because they participated, and they didn't have any children, you noticed, at this time, because God was waiting till they got off the ark, and then they went out and populated. Almost unbelievable. God's hand is just incredible how he prepares us, and he had to put the knowledge into Noah about how do you build this and this and this and this and this and everything in the ark. He had a lot of knowledge. Apparently the people that were on the earth did have quite a bit of knowledge. They got themselves into a lot of trouble. So I guess we don't know that. So he started 100 years, and so it took him and his family that long to get the ark built. It's so hard to imagine living 100 years working at one job. But they had so many hundreds of years. This just wasn't that as big a deal to them as it is to us, you know. Some things that they showed in some of the pictures was the fact that there were kind of like living quarters for each of the people in the family. They had an actual place to live, and they had things there. But they worked every day, because they had to take care of animals, and they had to just do amazing things. If you go to the Ark Encounter, you'll get a really good picture of the size of the ark, and God made it so it was like a box so that it would float and exactly what you needed to get through, because those waters that they went through during that time, those weren't all just little river waters, because they had waters coming from under the ground, they had waters coming from above, so it could have been a really scary place to be on that boat. But knowing that God was in control, that's the most important thing. Anybody have some questions? Linda, you have anything to add?
I think the main thing I would say is we were blessed. Carol and Roger led the group, and there was a lot to keep everything balanced. I would say when we had three floors to cover, we had like 4 hours, I believe, and it was like running from one end to the other. Mm-hmm. But you're on a schedule with a lot of people. So the thing that you can't, so you're saying it took 100 years. Well, imagine you walking a football field three times, but you're building it. And you had how many people building it? So 100 years was obviously not, it would take that long to do, and because everybody else is heckling him. I think that it was interesting in that you said that they tell them to bring enough food, mm-hmm. but on the and they're just, some of it they're supposing how that would work when mm-hmm. they build this ark.
Yes,
it's they're trying to figure out, they've got some information, but it's interesting to see how they thought they would have taken care of the food. And along the walls on each side were big huge pots where they think foods, grain and things were kept. I think the main thing you get is just the enormity of it. The place where they there was the hole in the ceiling, so they showed on second floor, I believe, maybe even the top one, but where they showed where they could plant things that would get mm-hmm. sun, mm-hmm. so that there would be some fresh things. Now, if they did that or not, I don't know, because there is a lot of supposition about it, but they do go into a lot of detail and let you get a really, really good feel for it mm-hmm. and what it would be like. And what I loved, I have a picture of, who was I with? Janie. I have a picture of Janie and I in front of the door. The door was huge. Yeah. I mean, it was like, was it taller than the ceiling? I can't remember the dimensions of it, but it was.
Had to get the giraffe in.
Yeah. I mean, it was huge.
And the elephants.
And I do like what Carol said, because they show on the top floor how they built that so that it would not tilt. And I don't remember all of the information mm-hmm. about that. But it was definitely, we literally kind of ran from one end to the other trying mm-hmm. to see everything. And they have a lot of videos, and they give you a lot of information on it. So, but it was definitely an experience.
One other thing I want to ask you, Jean. So all the plants were covered with water. Now, did that mean that they, as it dried out, all the plants were revived? They were there, but revived after the water? They didn't get washed away, obviously, because everything, well, there were seeds. There were plenty of seeds. Mm-hmm. So some stuff had to grow from seeds, start with.
All
just talking to myself.
From seeds.
Yes, I know that. Yes, I said that. I said that, yes.
Yes, Shannon.
I just wanted to say that when God told them to, you know, have the animals to come in, I think the animals, if we stop and think about the power of God, that the animals knew they were coming from everywhere, but not necessarily growing. They could have been the infant to male and female because they are so that it could hold everything he needed to put in there. Mm-hmm. So I just thought that was kind of interesting, because everybody thinks of the big giraffe. And mm-hmm. But I kind of think that they were the young ones.
I think that it gives us a lot of things to do with our imagination. We will not have any answers, but just reading that God specifically, he said you use a particular kind of wood. He said you cover it with pitch. Inside and out, that made it waterproof. There has been people that after this, in the last 100 years or so, have gone to that area because you got pitch, you got oil. And some of the biggest oil fields in the world have gone. If you listen to the Bible, you're going to find out something. And they have found tremendous oil under there. Think about Iran and think about all of that area there where it's so much oil in there. If there was pitch there, there was oil. Since I was married to a builder, in which also my daddy did a lot of carpenter work, they had electric tools. And none, you know, even just thinking about stripping a tree, putting it into boards that you could put back together and build a 3-story building that long without any power tools. Also, I got to thinking when she said that the men and women on the ark did not reproduce until after that, they had to shut that down too. I got to thinking, good Lord, there'd been rabbits everywhere. So, everything had to be very calm, and we're not going to reproduce anything all the time we're in here. And, you can just think about all the things. That gives you a little bit of an idea that God is God, and we are who we are. So you have to look at the big picture, and that one man, we started with the 10 generations, from Seth down to Noah. And we had one man that kept the faith, and that was Noah. And when he was 500, God told him, I'm going to wipe everything off, but except for you, Noah. And so thank God that one man, out of all these generations, kept the faith. That goes back to what is our lesson here? How do you know that your faith is not going to be the one that carries the faith to your next generation or the generations. They say that we're really kind of responsible for seven generations now. So look at it from my point of view. Would God find, you know, in describing God, in one of my translations, it said that that Noah was a perfect man. I think probably he is the greatest man that ever lived. You know, I've got all of you. We've got Christians everywhere. But what if we lived now and there was nobody but me that believed in God? That puts him in a bracket. Of course, Abraham was faithful too, but Abraham had to grow in faith. He made a bunch of dumb choices until he matured in faith. But you don't see that with Noah. And so for him, and even the idea when they finally got this thing all built, I was raised, as I told you, on the South Plains, Texas, where you could see things. If there was ever a bad cloud coming in, we had cattle. You could look out to the pasture, and every one of those cows would be sitting in one corner looking to where that cloud was coming in, and they knew in advance, before anybody else did, it's going to be bad. About a week ago, we had a real big windstorm come in. I was out in the front yard, and all of a sudden, I don't know how many birds it was, about three flocks of birds came into my yard all at once, and they went into the trees because they knew what was coming. Don't discount animals. In fact, when Noah and God has this covenant, that covenant is not only with Noah, that covenant is with animals. Also, look at it this way. What I do can destroy my family, can destroy my friends. What if what I do could either save or destroy everybody? That's where Noah was. So we're having a Noah lesson this morning. And we get off in little tidbit questions here. I don't think any of these animals could reproduce. What?
I was just going to say a couple of things. Number one, you know, we talked, you think, oh my gosh, he was 500 years old. But you remember when Moses was with, when Moses was, God said, Moses was like 100 and what did he pass?
Mm-hmm. 20.
But his eyes were sharp, and he still had the strength of a young man.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe that is part of what does, I just think we can't comprehend it because
no,
we think 100, then you're beating.
It's real, real hard for us to not think in our present situation with our present, right, what we know, what we've experienced. And so this stretches us.
And the other thing, mm-hmm, is remember that all of these generations, Noah knew some of the, I don't know who he knew, but if he, as long as they lived, he knew the faith of Abraham, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
Who,
yeah,
else did he know? I mean, he wasn't just all of a sudden faithful.
No.
He had generations that they talked about. You know, Abraham talked about what was going on.
Well, Abraham lived after this. Well, his great-granddaddy walked with God, and he was taken. And so that's what I tried to emphasize, that there was one, and the faith continued to build. Number one, that Seth, all of a sudden, began to call on the name of the Lord. And then in every generation, it was continued on down, and it grew in faith until about three generations before the flood. And we think, well, you know, with me, three generations lived under my house out there nearly. But when you have generations that live so many years, that stretches your thinking. So anyway, there is, I just wanted us to realize, to me, even it had to be on the building of this, there has been some people that I've read about that he may, that Noah may have been like a king or a little ruler over a province, and he may have hired a bunch of people that work. They might not believe what this building, but I don't think it was, you know, down to just these three or four people. Even that would be beyond what they could do. So it does not matter how, when, and who.
Right.
It means it did. And we get hung up on, well, we cannot keep from filtering it through our what we do know. But we know so little. We know so little. But God gives us faith to understand what we do know. We know. And about, I thought about that carol too. It said, you know, he'd destroy everything and anything we see that lays under the water for 100 years. But God put it there to begin with, and if he wanted to re-sprout trees everywhere, he wanted to re-sprout trees, he could do that. But also, that seed was still there. Also, when it was talking about where it landed up on Mount Ararat, I found out that is in Turkey, and it's in the highest mountain range in Turkey. They, every once in a while, they think they found the ark. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they get in there and then they get into an areas where nobody wants them to go and check on it. It does not matter whether they ever find the remains of the ark or not. That's where faith comes in. Yep. When you have sight, you don't have faith. Yep. And it's, you know, you have to have faith. But this to me just stretches mainly the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of man, and that our unfaithfulness can destroy everything. My sin, you know, it's just me. What I do is up to me. Whatever you do in violation to God is going to destroy somebody you love or somebody you know. Because if they're going to follow you, they can follow you to hell as well as they can follow you to God. Okay, Lisa?
I think I felt as I was reading this that we are not defined by our culture.
No.
We are defined by our faith.
Yeah.
Totally.
I love that. Totally. That's a beautiful statement. We're not defined by our culture. We're defined by our faith. Yeah. Always, faith is the strongest thing we have. And we do not get faith except by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God has left us all of this information. And all of these, it says that the Old Testament is our schoolmaster to bring us to Jesus. And so to realize how much groundwork has happened since the beginning of creation, and then we had to be kind of recreated again, then we had to come along in another 100 years or so. We have a Noah, Abraham, but we have all this information, and it shows how patient God was to bring us back to himself and to give us what he created us to have to begin with and to be who he created us to be. So he loves us and all of it. And you know, I think they say that every culture, everywhere, whether they have the Bible or not, say there was a flood. And so many times they'll start digging anywhere and they'll find like 8 layers of sand where there has been flood. And you know, even like where we are here now, if it rains much, you start having water that has little animals in it coming in through the sea. You're talking about, you know, the reproduction is still there. So God created and then he recreated and he started with Noah. So I just think that we need to, and then like she said, the floodwaters. Not only did the water come in sheets, it rained for 40 days, but also it erupted from the ground. So water was coming down, water was coming up, and pretty soon they were afloat. And then it stopped raining, and then they were in there for nearly 100 days. And then when they get down to the end of it here, it says the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, and everybody goes into the ark, and God shuts the door. Now, she saw the door. She said, nobody had that much strength. Okay. Also, I think Noah, in his love for humanity, would want to open the door and start pulling people in. So God opens the door for you to have faith. And then he seals you in with himself. And nobody's going to be able to tamper with you. And you're not going to be able to do beyond what he allows us to do. There is so much. Look at it as a faith lesson, not as a how in the world did they do that with wood that they didn't cut up with something else. Anyway, they have all of this, and he said, then you bring all of these in here. And so he said, go into the ark. This is 7 and the whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. And then he tells him how much to take. And then Noah, every once in a while, you'll pick up like 7 and 5. Noah did all that the Lord commanded. You can't say that about Gene Billingsley. And so our goal is to be faithful and to be obedient, and God will take care of us. Mm-hmm. And thank God for the grace of God and the grace of Jesus, because it seems to be that we do not know how to do anything ourselves. And that's why they landed up in the mess they're in. They've been eaten out of the wrong tree. They have two choices. You can follow God, the good tree, or you can decide what you want to do. Well, this shows you what man can do without any guidance from God. They just get worse and worse and worse and worse. And finally get so bad that God has just lost patience. Well, I'm just going to wipe the whole bunch out. Thank God for Noah. So it said that now Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came. So he has lived, he's built the ark, and he started out at 500. And his sons and his wives entered into to escape the waters of the flood. And pairs of, and then it tells what all they are. And he gets them all in there, and they sit there, closed up with all these animals for a week before it ever starts raining. I think that would have been the hardest week in their life. They'd been ready for a flood. They'd been ready to get in here. And God says it's going to rain. Here we are. And so then, and it's so detailed in 11. And as the 600 years of Noah's life on the 17th day of the second month, and on that day all the springs of the great deep burst forth and floods, gates of heaven were opened and the rain fell, and for 40 days. It's even down to the details. And then it said on that very day, that's who the little family here, it says they had everything, Ham and list them here, and the wives of the three entered the ark. They had them, every wild animals, and he's talking about who else in there. And then for 40 days, the flood down in 17 kept coming on the earth, and as the water increased that lifted the ark above the earth, and the waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface. Don't you know they were glad to see that thing float? We ain't been working on this boat for 100 years. I sure hope the thing don't sink. Anyway, they never had that, evidently, that problem with their faith. And you've got told them, they did it. It floats. They rose, then it says it rose. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered, and the waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 20 feet. And the ever-living thing that moved on the earth perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all creatures swam on the earth, and all mankind, everything on dry land. That this is who it was that has the breath of life in them. Realize everything that is alive, that has the breath of life, is because God breathed it into him. He created man, and he breathed into us, and we became a living creature. And he lets us live and use his breath. I was reading this week, and I know that Sandra will enjoy this. Yahweh, under the Hebrew, it's like, it, when you say that, it's like almost Yahweh. Yes. And every time that you breathe, Yahweh is keeping you alive. It says that in him we live and we move and we have our very being. Everything that was alive then that breathed, because God had breathed with them, and they became living creatures. And then when we die, our breath and our soul goes back to him that created us. Yes.
Jean, I know we're a little bit ahead of what I wanted to mention here, but that 7 days was 7 days of grace that God gave those wicked people.
Yeah.
If they believed what was going to happen, he would have took them in.
Oh, yeah.
Because they would have had faith in what. I think it's amazing that.
It's amazing that it did.
Wait for 7 days, mm-hmm. And nothing. And then the blood loss.
Shannon said that was 7 days of grace for these people that was sat there making fun of them to repent. Mm-hmm. God is merciful.
Yes.
He always is merciful. He loves his humanity. He loves all of us. He loves us enough to die for us. And so that is a very good point. She always has something that's so exciting to say. And so then it said that everything was covered, and they all perished on the dry land, and everything in the face of the earth was wiped out. Man, animals, and the creations. creatures that moved were wiped out, and only Noah left and those with him in the ark, and the waters flooded the earth for 150 days. So you have them going into, you have this broken down. I thought this was real interesting what I found in the city by the vault of Dr. Sproul, how much time each thing probably was about. Yes.
I think maybe I have heard this before, but I want to share it again because it's that time of year. A dear friend sent me this about 2 years before she left. And it's about Noah, whose name, it means comfort. The white dove that had been released from the ark of Noah, that little dove, had flown and flown and flown and had finished her mission. Mm-hmm. There was no place on this earth for her to rest, not anymore. Nothing remained for her to land upon and make a life here, so she flew with all her remaining strength toward the ark. And Noah saw her and reached out his arms to her, for her weariness was apparent. Then Noah, whose name means comfort, drew her into his breast and those strong but gentle hands. Soon this world will be covered with seawater, the raging of the nations and darkness, and his doves will fly back from where they came, the great Jerusalem above, and he will reach out and draw them to himself. She sent this not knowing that she was leaving at that time. And it helps me so much when I think of those that I think have already left way early. Mm-hmm. You know, it's perfect timing for everything and everyone.
Mm-hmm. It's always amazing how the dove always is a symbol of peace and a symbol from God of acceptance, because the dove, the Holy Spirit came down on Jesus when he was baptized in the form of a dove. We have managed, I think, to get down to chapter 8. And anyway, just go back and look at all of this, how the events happened and how exact all of God's words are, and how he keeps his promises, and it just amazes me. And it was talking about God. I think this is an interesting verse. God remembered Noah and all of the animals. Do you think he forgot them?
No.
That's just to say, well, we're going back and talk about this again. And the ark, and then he began to blow over the earth, and the waters receded, and now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of heaven had been closed, and the rain stopped falling on the sky, and the water receded steadily from the earth. And at the end of 150 days, it took 150 days just for it to dry up enough for them to kind of get back down to the earth. The water had gone down, and on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest. It talks how much time, and even in days of Ariat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month, and on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. After 40 days, Noah opened the window he made in the ark and sent out the raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had not dried up. And then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded, but the dove could not find a place to place his feet. And so it says it was returned to Noah, and then he reached out and took the dove and brought it back into the ark. Then he waited seven more days again and sent out the dove from the ark, and when the dove returned to him in the evening, there was in his beak a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the earth, and he waited seven more days and he sent it out. Now notice here, by the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up the earth, and now Noah then removed the covering of the ark and saw the surface of the ground was dry, and 27th day of the second month of the earth was completely dry. And then God said to Noah, come out of the ark. But look how patient Noah was, how assured Noah was. And so then it says that Noah come out of the ark, and he and his wife, and then he said, bring every kind of living animals out. And they brought them out, and they multiplied on the earth to be fruitful and increase. No, so 18, and Noah came out, and together with his sons and his wives, and his wife and their wives, and all the animals and the creatures on the ground, and all the birds and everything on the earth came out, one kind after another. And then Noah built an ark to the Lord, and took in some of all of the clean animals and the birds, and he sacrificed burnt offerings. And so the Lord smelled a pleasant aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground. Because a man, every thought and every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. So we will start with chapter 9. Father God, we are so in awe of your word, that it has been preserved, that we can study it, and that it makes sense. And that exactly what you said happened, and exactly the time you said it would happen, and exactly the reason you said it would happen. And Father, open our eyes and open our ears so that when we have questions, we go to you and that we pray to you. And then we take time for you to guide us. And thank you, thank you, thank you that you have given us the power of the Holy Spirit to teach us, to woo us, to open our hearts, to open our eyes, to bring us to yourself. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to earth and showing us God. And thank you, Father God, for sending him. And thank you, Father, that you are so good to listen to us. And we accept our prayers that we have today. And bless us as your church, that we can be people of faith and love and hope like you want us to be. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your word. Thank you, thank you, thank you for yourself. And thank you for blessing us in Jesus' name. Amen.